The Road to Rock Podcast.
Welcome to the Road to Rock Podcast. I'm Elisa Marsden, and this is the podcast that goes behind the scenes of the rock music industry. This week's guest on the Road to Rock is British vocalist and songwriter Robert Hart. Robert's career has seen him grace stages and recording studios as part of The Distance, Bad Company, and The Jones Gang. And for the past 10 years, Robert has been the lead singer of Manfred Mann's Earth Band. Over the years, Robert has worked on various group and solo projects, which has led him to collaborate with the likes of Rolling Stones' Ronnie Wood, Andy Taylor from Duran Duran, Company of Snakes with Bernie Marsden, and FM's Steve Overland and Jim Kirkpatrick. His songwriting career took him to the USA, where he was the first English writer to be signed to Disney-owned Hollywood Records. He worked on soundtracks for movies and even stepped in for the odd cameo role. Aside from spending the past decade touring the world with Manfred Mann, Robert worked on his own solo albums, releasing his most recent one last year in 2020, called Pure. He called on his rock buddies Steve Overland and Alice Cooper confederate Tommy Dernander to help him record and produce the album, which has resulted in 12 tracks of unique pop rock. Robert was on the Rock Meets Classic tour in Europe with Alice Cooper and Thunder when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, forcing the remaining tour dates to be abandoned. Robert's original interview was recorded via Zoom a few weeks ago, but due to poor audio quality, it couldn't be used. This week, I invited Robert to the Hot Radio Studios in Poole in Dorset to discuss the highs and lows of his multi-decade career and hear how he became the frontman of bands he admired growing up. Warning, this episode contains content about substance misuse some listeners may find triggering.
The Road to Rock.
Right, well, let's chat.
We've got our little book.
I've got my book of notes. Notes about you. Thank you so much for coming in and doing this again.
My pleasure.
It's like Groundhog Day for you.
It's very good. I get to meet you, Zuzu.
Yeah, meeting face to face. Right, so I think last time we were talking about, because when you were a young lad, you really excelled at sport.
I really did, yeah.
Football. And you actually went and got accepted to Leeds United.
I got accepted to Leeds United. Don Ravey come and spoke to my dad that I got signed. And it must have broke my dad's heart because I lasted 3 months. His only son gets signed to a football team. And I decided when I got there, I didn't really want to play football anymore.
Better than lasting 3 weeks.
Well, see, there's a positive.
Yeah. What made you decide to go down the music route?
Do you know, I've always played music ever since I was a little boy. So I can't remember not being able to play the guitar. So,
that's your thing, guitar?
Yeah, I'm a singer, but I play. And so, I was fascinated with music. And I thought, I'll be like one of those rockers.
Who did you listen to when you were growing up?
It's weird, really. I loved Rod Stewart as a lad. And I loved Free. And it's so weird that they became, well, two of them became Bad Company. And then as a little boy, I remember, a little boy, 14, travelling home from Bournemouth bus station, reading the Bad Company album sleeve notes. And lo and behold, a few years later, I joined them as a singer. It was like a dream came true.
How did you start out then? Did you start out with songwriting or singing for you?
Yeah, it wasn't school group. We had a little group, Dice they were called. Dice, pop rock for all occasions. Very nice.
Good slogan.
Yeah, and we just used to play in the youth clubs, just play at the local places.
And you were the singer in that?
Yeah, I was a singer and I played guitar. To be honest, we weren't very good, but we knew four songs and we'd play them round and round and round. But my mum liked them, so that was good enough.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, yeah, and the rest of them weren't really interested in being like professional musicians and stuff, so I sort of, I just continued doing it. And then I've always written songs. So, yeah, I just continued, and as luck would have it, I've never had a job. Yes, music is sort of a job, but...
Definitely. People need music.
People need music, yeah, more than ever now.
Definitely so. So you used to write these songs. What did you do with them? Did you send them out to different companies or bands?
At first, I used to just write them and do nothing with them. But then I don't know, somebody introduced me to maybe like a publishing company. I got a manager in London and I'd moved up there. And then one day somebody said, oh, we like your songs. And they gave me a publishing deal. And all of a sudden, you're a songwriter, a paid songwriter. And this sounds a little bit like whatever, promoting. But my first song that was covered was by the Jacksons. I wrote a film soundtrack for Whoopi Goldberg, and the title track on it, The Burglar, was done by the Jacksons.
Is that the Jacksons when Michael Jackson was still with them?
It was with Jermaine, was the singer. It was all the brothers except Michael.
Wow.
So that was quite a daunting thing, really, and a stroke of luck.
So you actually got signed to Disney's Hollywood Records.
That was a ways on. I got signed to them. There was three acts, I think. I think it was Queen, George Michael and me.
You were rolling with the big hitters.
I was at the time.
And so, and your musical journey, it took you over to America.
Hmm.
When was that? When did you go over?
1987 to Los Angeles. It's a really funny story. My publishing company thought, right, how do we promote him in America? So they put me on one of these programs like Pop Idol. And I went on and I came last, beaten by an 8-year-old tap dancer, which is quite embarrassing at the time.
Oh, no.
But watching the program was Bernard Edwards, who was the leader of Chic, the band Chic, and he'd seen me, and they just made the Robert Palmer album, Addicted to Love. Robert, and they wanted to keep the band together, but Robert was off being a star and stuff. So they wanted an unknown British white singer, and that was me. So I joined them, and then I got thrown into this film music, and we wrote for Sly Stone and the Jacksons and Marvin Gaye's daughter Nona Gaye and Bananarama and all these pop acts. And that's how I sort of wheedled my way in, really.
What was going on in LA at the time? Was that the height of the hair metal kind of era?
Hair metal was definitely in. Yeah, it was really strange. You know, I've never looked very metal at all, really. And at one point, I was going to join Slash. Slash was forming a band. And he'd heard the album I did with Bernard Edwards. And he said, oh, maybe we can get Robert. And he sort of took one look at me and went, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I'm...
Based on your look?
Because I'm not really a rock and roll.
But he didn't even hear you sing.
No, he'd heard me before. And he's a very nice chap, I have to say. And he's played with us several times after. But I just wasn't the sort of dirty-looking rock and roll that he wanted.
Mm. Oh. Mm. And then, so with your being in America, you also had a cameo role in a movie as well.
I did. Well, I did actually too. I was with a guy called Billy Burnett, who was in Fleetwood Mac when Lindsay Buckingham left. And Mick Fleetwood got offered the part in a film. It's Richie Rich, Christmas Wish. And it's a dreadful film if you see it. And I'm definitely no actor. And Mick Fleetwood couldn't do it. And he said, Robert, can you act? I went, I mean, how hard could it be?
Yeah.
And can you play the drums, which I can play a little bit? So he said, yeah, you can do this thing. But I got there and I was dreadful. And the more scenes I was in, they were getting cut out and cut out and cut out. But it was a great experience. And I've never been asked to act since.
Oh.
Very strange.
Oh. Mm. Do you think that's something you would have liked to have gone into?
I realised how hard it was when I actually was on this set doing it. It's definitely an art form that I'm not very good at.
You'd rather stick to the music and
performing. I'll stick to singing. It's much easier.
Right.
And you have to learn lines.
Yeah.
I didn't realise it when they gave me the script to look at. I didn't realise you actually had to learn them. And
you're more a freestyle.
Freestyle. Yeah.
Improv, you know, actor.
Yeah, yeah, it's an improv thing, yeah. Me, De Niro.
Mm. We're all up there.
Yeah.
So tell me how you came to be with Bad Company. How did that come about?
Well, like I said, it was like a childhood dream. They were my favourite group and I loved Paul Rodgers. And I got asked to go to New York to audition for Foreigner. And I got there and we rehearsed for 3 weeks. But it wasn't really for me because the songs were high for me. And so it didn't work out. But the same management managed Bad Company. And they were looking. They wanted to reform and start. And they asked me. And that was, yeah, I thought, wow, dreams do come true.
Wow.
And I stayed with them, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years. We did numerous American tours and made 3 albums. Yeah.
What are your favourite memories of your time with Bad Company?
Well, I can't remember a lot of it. But,
it was that era.
It was that era. And it was just, they were playing these huge places. We were on tour with Bon Jovi and Leonard Skinner. So it was just an amazing experience, really, but totally a false environment. I mean, it's lovely, but it's not real. And, I just did all the things that you read about. And, yeah, it was quite a journey, really. But they were a really good band live, a great band live, yeah.
You've been involved with so many... I mean, your career goes for decades.
Mm.
You've been...
Sad, really, isn't it?
No, it's amazing. I think people that have careers that go for decades, you can tell that's a sign of a true musician.
Yeah, I've just been very lucky. it seems to be like I'm like a substitute. You know, they, oh, somebody leaves, oh, Robert, maybe he's around, he'll do it. So, and I go off and do it, yeah. It's very odd.
So you've got your time in Bad Company, but also the Jones Gang.
Mm. Kenny Jones of The Who and, well, the Small Faces originally, and The Faces. Yeah, God knows what. Paul Young was singing for him. You know, Paul Young, Wherever I Lay My Hat, Paul Young. And Paul left to do something, and then, I don't know, I hooked up with Kenny, and then nobody would sign us because we were old. Not old, but, you know, we weren't the current thing. And then some record company, funded by a sports company, Trans Am, and they gave us this money to make an album, and they put it out, nobody thinking anything of it. And for whatever reason, I'd written this song called Angel, and it got to number one. And it was number one for 12 weeks.
Was that your first number one?
In America, yeah.
In America?
Yeah, yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, and it lasted for 12 weeks. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and we were baffled as much as everybody else was baffled. And, yeah, and then we did some gigs. We were playing with the Black Eyed Peas, as I remember.
How strange.
I know, how strange. But, yeah, that's another stroke. Nobody expected us to do very well. And it happened. It's like we suddenly got this record that was number one.
How does it feel to get a number one?
It was very strange because I was married at the time. And I was driving down the M25 and my car broke. Oh, no, my wheel punctured. So I pulled in on the hard shoulder and I phoned one of those recovery things on the side of the road. And as I did it, the tow man turned up and my wife phoned me and said, oh, because every week they say your record's going up and up and up. And she said, oh, you're number one. And I remember, like, must have boring this poor recovery man to death. And he must have thought I was mad and what I was on about, but yeah, we were number one. Because every week they phone you, the record company, and say, oh, you're 30 now. Oh, next week you're 29, you're this. And it goes on. And it's a long process in America to get, because there's so many charts. And yeah, so that was quite an experience.
Yeah. You've also got your charity single. It's all about the children.
Yeah, Mr. Ronnie Wood.
Mr. Ronnie Wood from the Rolling Stones.
What a
Stones.
Lovely man he is, yeah.
Had you met him before you worked with him then?
Yeah, we used to drink together.
Yeah. Oh, he's a Rolling Stone.
He's a Rolling Stone and other things. And so, yeah, and again, one of those things, the Rolling Stones producer, Chris Kimsey, I wrote this song, and this is quite interesting, really. I forgot. We wrote this song, and it was called All About the Children, and it raised a lot of money for children in different places. And so we were sent to Dubai, because we did a lot for children, to have dinner with Bill Clinton.
Really?
Yeah, me and Kenny Jones, and we went to this gala dinner, and we had to sit with him, and we had dinner.
In Dubai as well?
In Dubai, yeah. And he was a very nice chap, and he just wanted to speak about music, because he's a musician.
Bill Clinton?
Mm-hmm. Plays the sax, yeah. Quite well, too. And so there we, I mean, it's surreal, really, isn't it? You know, some musicians having dinner with the ex-president, yeah.
Very what an strange. Evening.
Yeah.
Also, Airline USA 300.
Mm.
So the album artwork, was this album Any Day Now?
Yeah, Ronnie Wood drew it.
Ronnie drew the artwork.
And then it ended up on aeroplanes.
This is odd.
I know, very strange. Yeah, very strange. And it was a part of the record company paid for us to be on back of aeroplanes, like advertising.
This to promote
yeah.
you?
God knows who sees
that's
it up
there.
That's
one way to do it.
Well, yeah, how can you advertise in the middle of the air? But anyway, they did. It sounds all very glamorous and lovely, doesn't it? But it just sort of happened.
But it's things like this that make it so special and unique.
Yeah, it was. I wish I'd taken the time to enjoy it, because it's one of those things that when it all goes on, I don't know, it all goes on in, you know, I wish it was now. I'd sort of remember it probably now. But yeah, well, it was lovely. I mean, yeah, nice fun.
Those aeroplanes, so this gets even more random. Those aeroplanes were used in a rescue operation for Hurricane Wilma.
Mm-hmm.
So your face was on those planes.
Yep.
Going in to rescue people.
Going in to rescue. Imagine that, they see us coming to rescue them. Yeah. Yeah, that's quite a crazy thing.
That's the Jones Gang era.
Yeah, the Definitely. Jones Gang era. And we still play. Now and again, me and Kenny, there's a great local bass player here, Pat Davey, and he plays with us. And we play the odd gig here and there. We did the Cavern. We got inducted into the Hall of Fame in Liverpool.
In Liverpool in the Cavern.
Yeah, and we had a brick each in the wall and stuff. And so, like, we do gigs like that when we special gigs, you know, stuff. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You've also done Help for Heroes. We will remember them.
Yeah, that was quite nice.
Do you get approached to do these charity things?
Yeah, again, like, it wasn't meant to be. And, this manager we had, he said, which we will remember them. And I don't know, we phoned up a load of artists. We phoned up Mark Bolton, Paul Rogers, the original Bad Company singer, Misha Paris, Paul Carrack. And they all said, yeah, Abbey Road gave us a studio for free.
Wow.
The London Philharmonic came along. And in one out, the Robin Gibb came. And all of a sudden, all these people were in the studio. And it was a song that I wrote with Mark Reed, who was in a boy band called A1, who were brilliant. He's a great songwriter. And then this song came out. It was a good song, I have to say. It was well done, yeah.
Also, as part of your projects, you'd spent some time with Company of Snakes, with Mr. Bernie Marsden.
Mr. Bernie Marsbar.
That's my last name. That's what people call me.
No.
Marsbar.
Marsbar, really?
Yeah. We're not related, me and Bernie.
No.
We've had this conversation, me and him.
Yeah, you don't look similar, I have to say.
No. Also, I'm Derbyshire, he's Lancashire, so it's like a War of the Roses thing.
That's right.
War of the Marsdens.
Yeah, the War of the Marsdens. Yeah, young Bernie, who's basically the big songwriter in Whitestone. Snake, you know, here I go again and all that stuff. And I've known Bernie for years and years and years. He's one of the finest guitar players ever. He really is. So we a couple of members of Whitesnake, Mickey Moody and him and Neil Murray, and it was me from Bad Company, and we called ourselves the Company of Snakes, and we toured Britain. We had two tours and it was really well attended. People came out and, you know, wanted to hear all the old songs. And
was
stuff.
It the Whitesnake songs, Bad Company
White Snake,
songs?
Bad Company, yeah. And we did a couple of originals and I was amazed people come to see it.
Really?
But, yeah, they just... I'm always amazed when people come to see anything, really. But they turned up and, it was good fun.
Rock fans are so loyal. They will never forget you.
They never do. I mean, I'm with, as you know, Man from Man's Earth Band now.
Mm.
And our following in Germany and Norway and Sweden is remarkable. I mean, they show up, you know, T-shirts from the 70s on and, you know.
It's so nice to see.
It's so lovely. And they're so lovely. They're so lovely. They really are.
I feel like you don't get that with other types of music, like pop music and things like that.
It comes and goes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, no, I think we're lucky that we made music in a certain era of time. People will go, oh, you're old. That's an old thing to say. But I think it's true. Because, like, today, you know, these poor... I feel really sorry for these Pop Idol and The Voice and all these programmes, because they get 2 minutes of fame and, sadly, they haven't done their apprenticeship and all of a sudden they're dropped and, you know, they're heartbroken. It's quite sad, isn't it, you know?
It's hard to deal with.
Yeah,
and
you know.
Social media, you know, can be a bad thing as well.
Yeah.
Everything you do is everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
I think the era of music that you're from is possibly one of the best eras for rock music and will be forevermore.
I think so, and it will never come back.
No.
I mean, for me, the great last rock band, and they're old, is the Foo Fighters. Because I think they're just amazing. I think he's a genius, Dave Grohl. But that's about as far as my knowledge of rock music goes now, really. I love country music. I went and lived in Nashville for 5 years. I gave up playing and I thought, I'll just songwrite. And I lived there, and that was an amazing experience, because they treat it like a job. You do 10 till 2, and then you do 3 until 6. You're right. But, yeah, I like country music, which is sort of no longer country music, really. It's sort of 80s pop music with violins on.
Yeah.
Fiddles, you know, so I'm not sure what any of it is anymore. But.
Well, there's all these different types now, because there is actually just a fine line between rock and country these days with bands like Blackstone Cherry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's good. And I think it keeps melodies and good tunes alive. You know, there's still melodic music, really.
Yeah.
It is 80s pop music. Soft rock music.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
So, Manfred Mann, you just mentioned, you've been with them for a decade now.
Yeah.
How did
that... Actually, a bit longer. Yeah.
Come around.
Do you know, it's the weirdest thing. I used to work with Go West in the 80s. You know, we close our eyes a lot. And they were playing in Bournemouth. And I'd lost Pete Cox's number. So I phoned my friend, the drummer, Jimmy Copley, who's sadly not with us anymore. But I said, oh, I need Pete's number. And he went, what are you doing? I said, no, just not a lot, really. He said, do you want to come and be our singer in Man from Man's Earth Band? Because he was the drummer.
Oh.
He was also the drummer in Tears for Fears. I said, all right, yeah, I'll come. I like Blinded by the Light. That's a good song. So I went along and I've been with them ever since. 11 years, I think it is now. So, and they're still really big in Europe. It's quite amazing that they... I think this year, after our first set of gigs are in Russia this year, in October.
Is that still going ahead?
Yeah, apparently so.
Russia?
It's going to be freezing.
Yes, it is. How long are you going to be over there for?
A month.
Oh.
Cold.
Thermals.
Thermals.
Essential.
Hats.
Hats. Gloves.
Yeah,
Is that going to be your first tour going back out after this pandemic?
I think we're playing in Norway in October, a couple of gigs in Norway, and then we'll go over to Russia, and then we have some gigs in Germany in December, which we always do, like a Christmas bunch of shows in Germany, if this wonderful pandemic lets us.
Did you ever think in all the decades of your career there would be a time where music had to stop?
Never.
Weird, isn't it?
It's
even
so
in the
sad.
War.
It's even in the war, yeah, exactly. What a sad situation, isn't it, really?
How did you find it, lockdown and things like that?
Do you know what? For me, I think one of the greatest tools in life is acceptance. And so if you accept things, you don't have to approve of what you're accepting, but you just accept it. And I miss it, but what can I do about it? Nothing. I sort of try not to think about it too much.
You were actually on tour with Alice Cooper and Thunder, weren't you? You were doing
Rock Meets Classic.
Rock Meets Classic.
Yeah, when we came to a grinding halt. It was really weird, though. We started off in Germany and it was all sold out, the tour. But we noticed, even all the tickets were sold out, big places. Like the last night we played in Berlin, it was all full.
Really?
People were getting frightened. Turn up at a venue. And then we came off stage and they said, that's it. They pulled the plug.
How many tour dates did you have left to go?
12, I think. So
a few.
But the problem is when music starts again, and people will forget this because it's not their concern, but the insurance companies won't insure tours. In case the government pulls it out and they're stuck with the band payments and the ticket payments. So I think it's going to take a long time before it becomes normal, because promoters are going to get really burnt if they, you know, they pay up front and all of a sudden it's pulled, you know.
And actually, we're starting to see, so some festivals are going ahead this summer.
Be interested in Reading, right?
Reading is. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're going to do that. I have no idea.
With barriers. I've seen plans.
Like pens.
That's going to be odd,
gonna
isn't it?
That's going to be weird.
It's going to be odd, isn't it?
It is.
Because if you want to go to somebody else's pen...
Yeah.
What do you do?
You won't be allowed.
They'll have pen police.
They will.
Yeah.
And also, we're seeing things like Steelhouse Festival in Wales. Mm-hmm. Anthrax have just had to cancel because they can't get over from the States.
Yeah.
So international travel is going to be a mess for a while, I think.
Yep. Oh, yeah, the Steelhouse. FM do that, don't they?
They are.
You interviewed my dear friend.
I really
did. The Kirkpatrick.
Mr. Kirkpatrick. And I interviewed Steve Overland. He's coming out in a couple of weeks, his episode.
He produced my last solo album.
Well, it's funny you say that. Yeah. We were going to talk about that. Mm. Pure, because as well as working with all these different projects and bands, you've done your own albums.
Yeah, I've done my own albums.
Is it kind of nice because you're not contracted to it? You have to have 5 albums in the next 5 years for you with the thing like that?
No, this one, they asked me to make a record with Steve Overland.
Yeah.
And a great guitar player in Sweden who's in the Hollywood Vampires called Tommy Denander. And so I just did it, really. Went along, sung the songs, and it was an easy thing to do, really. But I like to make the solo ones. I'd like to make an acoustic record if I could. Like a more organic sort of record.
With you playing guitar?
Yeah, just...
And singing?
Yeah, maybe Jim Kirkpatrick or Bernie Marsbell.
Bernie come in.
With his Marsbells. So, yeah, I'd like to do that. And there's a possibility to do that. I'm actually doing a session for Man for Man next week, the Earth
Band. Really?
Mm.
Oh, it's a good job I got you in the studio this week, isn't it?
So we're in London.
Good timing.
Next week. Yeah, so that'll be nice.
Oh, it's nice to see a bit of movement coming back in terms of that.
Yeah.
But your album, Pure, it came out February 2020, literally just before we went into lockdown.
Yeah.
So you haven't had a chance to tour this or anything?
Nothing. And it was selling really well on the Alice Cooper tour. But then things that I don't even realise, like the manufacturing people shut down.
Yeah.
So you can't, if you sell out, that's it.
You can't get any more. It's like limited edition.
Limited edition. So, and with all these records, and, you know, because we're not flavour of the month, you're sort of, you know, the people that are always loyal, you know, you're only going to sell a certain amount because, you know, you make the odd new ones. So it's not like it won't go out of date on itself. So next tour with, I'll do Rock Meets Classic again.
Oh, that will go ahead again.
Next year, I think so, with Joey Tempest. Yeah, it was great fun. And Thunder got to be one of the great British rock bands.
Danny Bowes.
Oh.
Yeah, so really, could we see you doing a tour of your own work?
Maybe one of these days.
Would you like to?
Yeah, it would be quite nice. Or supporting somebody. I did the Rock Meets Classic as myself. I did it and sang songs from Bad Company and Man for Man's Earth Band.
This is the beauty of going to see you. Mm. You have such a vast collection.
It's a cheap
history.
Really. Yeah, I just sing a load of tunes.
People get their money's worth with you.
They do. So yeah, I'd like to play some on my own. Yeah.
How was the recording process for Pure? Because you brought in Jim and
really simple. Steve Overland's a genius, and he's a brilliant vocal producer. So I just basically went in and sang, and he produced me singing. And it was great to work with another singer, and I really love his voice, so I really respect him. So it was easy, and it was fun. It's a great job, isn't it, really?
To do what you love.
Just a bit of singing and be nice and...
There is one thing I do want to ask you about, and this is something you've been open about within the past. Mm-hmm. Throughout your career, you battled addiction.
Totally.
Drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm.
Well, lots of drugs and
lots of alcohol. We talked about LA in that era, which was a big scene back then, and you battled addiction, which you've come through.
I've come through one day at a time, yeah.
I wanted to ask you, how did it affect your career?
Well, you see, there's a funny thing. The more successful my career got, I mean, the more drugs and alcohol I took... But the thing is, your spirit inside goes down. You're going up, but your spirit's going down. You're sort of slowly killing yourself, really. But yeah, it was. I was in an era where it was part of the norm. You go to Los Angeles and record companies, it would be everywhere. So it became a way of life, really. And then when people started cleaning up, I didn't. I was addicted. I didn't know how to stop. And thankfully, through a 12-step program and a rehab center and... I haven't gone back to it, you know, one day at a time. And, do you know, it's part of my journey. I quite like it. But I went through it, and I've come out of it, and it gives me a chance to help other people.
You know, must have learned a lot about yourself.
A lot, yeah, a lot. So it's good. You can go around schools talking to children.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, the opportunity I do, and then I sponsor people that have addiction problems, and I do what I can, really. Because it's a very sad thing to be addicted to something. I mean, I'm addicted to food at the moment, which I'm trying to not be.
I can relate to this.
Yeah, chocolate especially. Do you like chocolate?
I do. I've actually got some for you, actually.
Great.
It's here.
Oh, look at this. Oh,
I brought
fantastic.
Some in for you because I knew you liked it.
Thank you.
What was the turning point for you? When did you kind of sit down with yourself and think, right, I need to change my ways. I need to start getting myself some help.
Do you know what? It's so funny. I was in hospital. My first hospital visit was when I was 19. So I spent a month in hospital with alcoholic poisoning. And so I started at a very young age. But then I had a few years of sobriety, 8 years of sobriety, but not through a program, through fear.
Right.
Because I was very ill. I was very ill indeed. And then I went to LA. And the first night I was in LA, somebody introduced me to cocaine. And I was 27 when I started. And then I just went... It was like I'd found a new thing. If I had my choice, I wouldn't do it again. But I'm very proud that I came through it and I can help people with... It's a terrible thing. Addiction is a terrible thing. You cross that invisible line and all of a sudden when you try to stop, you can't. And then you're in no man's land and then you're in trouble. So it's been I've met many, many people... In sobriety, most of my friends now are sober people, my musician mates. But you know what? I'm in a band that doesn't drink. Not because they're addicted. They come off stage and have a little bit. And that's as odd to me to see a person drink a beer, one beer. That's as odd to me. It's really strange. I can't understand why people just have a drink. So, yeah, I don't get involved in all that anymore.
We see people like Alice Cooper's been sober for a long
33
time. Years. Yeah. We see musicians go vegan now.
Unbelievable.
It's complete lifestyle changes.
Yeah, it's a whole different ball game, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's the best thing I ever did.
What advice would you give to somebody who is struggling and wants to get clean or to help themselves?
Yep. It's the only illness that you can self-diagnose. Okay. Only you know if you're an addict or if you can't stop. And the biggest thing is a surrender. You've got, you know, I've had enough. And sometimes that don't work. You've got to go for a 12-step program and do what it says. It's so simple. It's so simple, it's untrue. It's a simple program for complicated people. And we overcomplicate it. But if you do it, and you do it like it says, it would be like if you made a cake and you had a recipe, and you thought, oh, I'll leave that ingredient out. The cake's not going to be the same cake. So if you leave one of the steps out, your recovery will not be...
Oh, I see.
You know, you've got to do it fully. And then you'll love doing it fully, and then all of a sudden it's just not normal not to drink, really.
Wow.
I quite find it amusing being around drunk people now.
Do you look at them and just think, wow?
At least, you know, they're going to feel terrible in the morning, but then they probably won't do it again. You know, mine was 24 hours a day, so
yeah. It's fascinating. Yeah. And I'm sure that's going to help people, actually.
Yeah, I hope so.
So, I need to ask you three songs from your career. Could be from your album, Manfred Mann, Bad Company, everything. What three songs would you suggest people listen to?
That I like.
Yes.
I like the early Bad Company stuff that wasn't part of, but I love Can't Get Enough and Shooting Star. And I love, I'd say I really like Blinded by the Light. What a great song. You know, it's written by Bruce Springsteen.
Do you know, I did not know that until you told me.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Springsteen wrote that. And what a lyric. Unbelievable.
Everybody knows it.
I'm frightened to death every night I sing it because I'm going to forget the words.
That's big responsibility.
I mean, you're going to fall over them. There's so many of them. Yeah, I'd say that, yeah.
Because you've stepped into people's shoes in bands, how do you find it having to learn their back catalogue and things?
Yeah, I don't mind it. You learn a lot about the song.
Yeah.
You know, you can dissect it and see what's what. And yeah, I quite like it. It's like homework, isn't it? You know? Yeah, I like it.
Okay. And finally, where are we going to see you on tour? You mentioned Russia and Europe. How about the UK? Is there anything
Nothing for the UK at the moment, but maybe next year with Manfred.
Okay.
Sometimes we do like a few venues in England. It's so strange, you know, we're not popular here like we are in Germany and stuff. Most of the shows in Germany and Europe are sold out, but we probably would struggle here a little bit. I've always wanted to play at the Tivoli. Me and Bernie Marsbar played at the Tivoli. We had a great show at the Tivoli with Bernie and Mickey Moody, and we played White Songs.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I'd like to maybe hire that one night and go and get a few guests down and...
That would sell
out. Fun. Yeah.
You'd need a bigger place than the Tivoli.
Yeah, that would
I
be
really
good, wouldn't
so.
It? That would be good. And Ronnie Wood, Ronnie's in recovery, 7 years, which is wonderful to see. So
we'll have to keep our eyes on you.
We'll have to
see
keep our
where
eyes
you're
going to
be.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Road to Rock. Fishbowl Roulette.
Do you remember we did this before?
Yes, I do.
I'm going to give you the fishbowl this time.
I'm going to take
anything
one out.
That's yellow. Because the white ones are for bands when I interview.
Ah.
Yeah, so you as a solo artist, you're a yellow.
Aha.
So.
Blimey, what is your guilty pleasure?
Oh, well, he's looking at us right now.
Chocolate. Do you know what? Yeah, that is my guilty pleasure, I think, chocolate. Yeah.
What kind?
The ones you've just given me.
Really? Did I choose well?
You've chosen...
Lindt milk chocolate.
I tell you what I'm getting a guilty pleasure for. Chinese food.
Oh, but it's good.
What's that about?
You told me you know how to cook Chinese food.
Mm. When I lived in New York, Jeff Bover, the keyboard player, we shared an apartment, but his mum was Chinese. And so every Sunday, we'd take a trip up to the Hamptons, and his mum would teach me how to cook Chinese food.
Beautiful.
Unbelievable. It's really good.
That's proper Chinese food. Mm. That's not like...
It takes a long time to do proper.
Yeah.
I mean, hair drying the duck and everything. Hanging it, you know. Well, and killing it and shooting it. You know,
catching
yeah.
it.
Yeah, catching it. Yeah.
Okay. Go again.
No, oh,
let's
okay.
do a few.
Right.
Take the whole bowl.
Let's have a little look. Most memorable gig you've ever been to?
Yes.
That I've been to? Wow. Let me think. Most memorable one. That's a really good question. I supported Leonard Skinner once at Hammersmith Odeon when they were really on fire, when they were really tight. And that was an amazing concert. So I would say that would be probably, or do you know what I'd have to say, when I was a little lad, 14, my first concert ever I went to, Status Quo, and they just blew me, maybe because I was 14 they blew me away, and we play with them now and they're still as good, but I'd have to say that too, Status Quo.
Okay.
Do you like Status Quo?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to play them on the show tomorrow as well.
They're very good.
Mm.
They're very good live.
I've had a lot of requests for them recently.
Yeah, they're very good.
I've never seen them live.
They're really good. And really nice chaps. Yeah, they've been through the mill and back. Yeah.
They've got a legacy behind them.
Mm.
All right.
One?
Yeah, another one.
Yellow one. No, I haven't got my glasses. I couldn't.
Oh, sorry.
What is your favourite food?
Oh, skip that one.
Yeah,
we know that one.
Yeah, we know that one. This is good.
It's just to get to know you a bit better.
Yeah.
Aside from your career.
What TV series are you watching right now? That's a good one. Several. I've watched Breaking Bad about 3 times. I don't know why. What am I watching at the moment? I was watching a thing called The Investigators.
What's that?
Well, it's real life. I watched it. My friend told me about it. It was about a murder in Bournemouth. And they're 4 episodes long. And it was quite amazing. If you like mystery
I do.
But real life murder.
I'm a huge cold case fan.
Coy Pond. A woman went missing from her husband. Really intriguing if you watch it. It's 4 1-hour episodes.
Did they solve it?
No.
It's
not
been solved. Oh, now I need to watch it.
You need to watch it.
And it's here on our doorstep. I've not heard about that one. Thank you. Good recommendation.
Oh, what else did I watch? Oh, a thing called Snowfall, which is on...
Interesting.
It was the introduction of crack into LA. And it was about the time I used to live in LA, so...
That was on the BBC, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. Don't take crack, by the way.
No, don't.
Very bad for you.
Yeah.
What was the last three things you Googled? Blimey.
If you can remember. If not, don't worry.
I Googled a pharmacy.
Yeah.
Because I needed to get my dad some medicine.
Yeah.
I Googled... This will make you smile. The word fib.
As in lie.
Yeah, but do you know where it comes from?
No.
See, this is freshly Googled information. Which, a fib, if you tell a fib, comes from the word fable, which is a short story that in the old days they used to tell children fables. But a fable used to be called a fibble.
A fibble.
A fibble, which turned into a fib. See?
Tell me a fibble.
Yeah, I'll tell you a fibble. Isn't that interesting?
That's really amazing.
But yeah, so that's how sad my life is. That I Google words.
No, that's not sad. I do that all the time. Do one more. Let's see what we get. One more.
Oh, I Googled the word doolally. You know where people are going doolally?
Yeah.
Do you know where that comes from?
No, that's an odd one as well.
It's in the First World War when soldiers were shell-shocked. In India, there was a place called doolally that had a hospital that would put people who were suffering from mental illnesses into hospital in doolally.
So he's literally gone
doolally. I can stay all day doing it. He's gone doolally.
Do you know, I do find that stuff interesting because it's where it came from. It's why we've got it. And we never think about it because it's just part of language.
Oh, I can go on, you know. Who do you want to tour with? Who do I want to tour with? Let's think about that one.
This is a good one because you are somebody who's worked with so many
lots of people. But who? Stevie Wonder. It's not rock, but it's... I love Bruce Springsteen's new album. It's got back to the old Bruce Springsteen, which I like. That would be something, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
He goes on for like 3.5 hours or something.
Does he?
Mm. So maybe that. Or the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, you said you like the Foos.
I love them.
Have you seen them?
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how he does it. He sings like that for 3 hours. And apparently, I've never met him, apparently the nicest man in the world. My friend does their PAs when they come to England. His company does it. And he... One of the roadies for the PA company, and he was laughing with Dave Grohl, and is apparently the mother of the boy, the roadie. So he went to sleep at the roadie's house.
Who, Dave Grohl?
Yeah, he went to sleep. He said, when they played in Manchester, he went there. He said, no, I'll stay. His family, like, I'll stay. And he stayed. Yeah, isn't that nice?
You hear he's a nice guy, and I think it's because he's so down to earth.
He's normal, yeah.
Yeah.
And why shouldn't he be? He's an amazing talent, isn't he? And good hair.
Fantastic hair. Great songs, too.
It's all about the hair, really.
Your hair's good.
Well, thank you. It's not mine, either.
The Road to Rock.
Thank you to Robert Hart for joining me on this week's Road to Rock episode. His album Pure is out now and his tour dates can be found online. If you've been affected by any of the topics discussed in this episode of The Road to Rock, help and support is available. Visit talktofrank.com for details of local and national services in the UK or phone 0300 123 6600. For listeners abroad, please reach out to the support available to you. If you'd like more episodes of The Road to Rock or to catch up on anything you may have missed, go to theroadtorock.com. I'll be back on air this Wednesday playing the best rock music on The Road to Rock radio show, 9 p.m. GMT on Hot Radio. Listen online at hot.radio or on FM 102.8 and DAB across the South Coast. For all the latest updates, follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under The Road to Rock.